This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 145. We're continuing our Jason Bourne franchise watch through. This movie we're tackling is The Bourne Supremacy from 2004. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Bourne Supremacy?
You know what's funny? When I watched it yesterday, I was like, dang, I don't remember. I only remembered like three scenes. And so I don't know how long it's been. But it's been long enough where I don't really remember it. So it was almost like a first time watch. I was like, I don't remember that. And none of this. So I'll say if this came out in 2004. It's probably been since like 2005 since I've seen it.
Maybe. Well, I seen this last year. But let me tell you, this one, I love this one. Let me tell you, I think out of the franchise, I think this is my favorite one. Got to see Ultimatum and then Jason Bourne. Yeah. But I think this is the one that I enjoyed a lot. But let me tell you, it was a treat rewatching it. So with that said, for those of you out there that are listening to us on the go, watching us on the YouTube, I'm going to give you guys our Rotten Tomato scores, go right into the movie review with me and Nate. So let's start it off to see what the critics and audience have to say about Bourne Supremacy from 2004. Nate.
Yeah, another Bourne movie, another nice set of Rotten Tomato scores, to be honest with you. This is sitting at an 82% critic score and a 90% audience score. So critics and fans alike enjoy this movie and review it well.
Yeah, I mean, you see, it's funny, right? Because these type of action spy thrillers, you want to call them, they start to go on an up trajectory, right? Depending on the franchise. Some of them could start going and then this tips off by the third movie. I don't know if the Bournes do that. I think it continues to go up a bit because remember, he leaves the franchise after the third one. He doesn't return till many, many years later. But I want to see where Bourne Legacy, does it take that nosedive? Is the franchise name still there for a lot of people? You know what I mean?
And this is not a spoiler because we haven't watched them all yet. But I remember really liking Ultimatum the most when I initially watched these. And that's the third one.
Yeah.
So, and I remember not, I don't think I dislike Legacy either. So I don't know. It's a good question. Like how, where does this dip and when? But I remember at least the first three being like all really good, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, Legacy, I remember that's the Jeremy Renner, right?
Renner, Rachel Weisz.
Yeah. That one I remember enjoying. I thought it was really good. And then Ultimatum, I don't remember as much, but I did
Jason
remember
Bourne,
liking it.
I don't remember at all. And I saw it at
that
the theater.
One. I think I seen that one once, to be really honest with you. But anyway, with that said, let's give you guys our movie review of The Bourne Supremacy. So we're going to start it off again with the lead character, Jason Bourne, played by Matt Damien. Nate.
Okay, so yeah, he's the same guy as the last movie, pretty much. Same guy. You know, there's not a lot of difference. He's a little more pissed off, which I always like, you know, because they kill his lady. So he's a little more angry. And that little anger gives him the little spice that I need to up his score a little bit. It's still not a 5 for me. I gave him a 4 last time. I'm going to give him a 4.5. Give him a 4.5. I like the anger. I like the revenge angle. I think that gave him the little up. But other than that, you know, story-wise, there's not a ton of new development. He's just still the same guy who has amnesia and can't remember stuff. And, you know, storyline-wise, they've changed a little bit. Like he's trying to, he's almost coming after them more so. Like the first movie, he's trying to find out who he is. And this movie kind of not abandoned that, but he's more like, all right, I'm not going to remember who I am. Let me just try and get these people who are trying to get me and frame me. So I like that. I give him a 4.5.
Yeah, look, in terms of Jason Bourne, Matt Damien, I liked him in this one. I thought he was really good. Is he the same as Identity? Yeah, but a little bit. He still has that amnesia. He's still trying to figure out who he is, where he came from, who's Treadstone. Who's this guy? Who's that guy? I gave him a 5, honestly, because I thought he was really good. The character is still the same. He gets a little elevated, a little bit better. Like you said, he is pissed off in this one. They killed his girlfriend. And there is nowhere to go from up with Jason Bourne, to be really honest with you. You get to see more of his skills put in play in this one. More of his hand-to-hand skills. More of his tracking. ability, right? How to him infiltrate people. I mean, because this dude knew how to be seen and still not get captured. Like, he's like, okay, I'm going to show you guys where I'm at, but you're still not going to be able to capture me. And I kind of like that in this movie. Is that the whole cat and mouse game? And I thought it worked very well. And I think more of this movie, to me, is more villain-centric, if you understand what I mean. I don't think this is more of a Jason Bourne. I mean, yeah, he is the face of this movie, but I think it's more of the villains in this one center stage than Jason Bourne, if it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yep. So no, I agree, because the first movie, he's just trying to figure out who he is.
Yeah.
In this movie, he is now being framed for something and kind of trying to fight back. So there's a lot more of the other characters in this than there was in the first one.
Yeah. So with that said, look, I gave it a 5. Let's get to the main villain. Now, this one, again, we have Kurt Urban. He's in this movie. He's one of the villains. But again, we have the guy from the first movie, Brian Cox, right? From the first movie. And then we got other new characters. Allen. Yeah. So go ahead, Nate. What do you think?
Little Manhunter reunion here. Brian Cox and Joan Allen, both in Manhunter. Yeah. So, okay, the villains. So I had to go with the old score everybody together. You know what I mean? Because this is not the franchise of like main good guy, main bad guy. It's government. The government is the bad guy. And then there's like a hitman guy who's coming after him. But on the whole, I liked them better in this movie. I gave them a 4 total. I thought, for one, as far as an adversary, a physical adversary, Carl Urban was great in this. He doesn't talk much. He's a Russian guy. You know, when he does talk, he's speaking Russian. I like the look. Got a shaved head. It was kind of cool. It's different. Yeah, I really enjoyed him as the toe-to-toe villain, if you will. And then you got the mental type villains, where it's the government guys who are trying to stay a step ahead of him and track him down. That's Brian Cox. Joan Allen, but is she really a bad guy? No. You know, I think when it's all said and done, she's not real. She believes he did this thing that he didn't do, that he was framed for.
Right.
And she's just doing her job and trying to get him. Brian Cox knows he didn't do it and is trying to, you know, frame him as part of the framing, right? And at the end, when she realizes he didn't, she doesn't keep going after him. Like, when he calls her at the end, when he's in New York and he calls her, she's like, come in and meet or whatever. You know, at that point, it doesn't seem like she apologized to him and whatnot. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say she's a villain, but throughout the runtime, she kind of is. You know what I mean? So I think the villain section, I guess, in this was a little better. In the first movie, they're just trying to cover stuff up. But in this one, they're really like coming after him hard. So I thought it was a little bit better. So I gave it a 4.
Yeah, look, this one, there's nothing I can say in this one. You said everything. I gave this one a 5. Nice. The villains here are so well done that the fact is this dude was living his life in India. You know, they're trying to frame him. And they did. They shot his girl off the bridge while driving, which I was like, okay. To me, that's where the movie sets off. Because you're like, holy crap. And then you see how the whole setup went with Kurt Urban putting the bombs on the electricity thing. They blow it off. And then he starts silencing, kills everybody. And everyone's like, what the hell? And then he's like, it's Bourne once they got their fingerprint. And I was like, no, it's not. Yeah. And it worked. It's so good. Brian Cox as the villain is such a douche. Because I hate him as William Stryker as X-Men. He pisses me off there, but he plays the character so freaking well that it's so good. And he knows he fucked up at the end because it was like when they went to the hotel and he looked and he was just like, oh, my God. And then he just started. He went to go. He already knew where he had to go. And I loved it. I thought that was so well. Kurt Urban. Okay. He is what made the movie. He was so good. I wish we got more. How do you say? I wish we had more hand to hand.
Between
the two. Yeah. Because I think that's what we were missing. I was like, man, but what you got was so good. It was really good. And of course, I'm going to talk about this one scene in the action sequence. But as a villains, I think the villains were all perfect, including the CIA agents or whoever the hell they were. I forgot what they were. The counterintelligence agency. Yeah. But the FBI, I think they were really good too. So honestly, kudos to them because everything worked so well. I gave that a 5. Okay, action scenes.
All right, so action scenes. I was a little torn on this because, to be honest with you, there's still not a ton of action in the traditional sense, but this movie, way more than the first one, every scene seems like it's action because of the way it's shot and the music. Hmm. The music is like, when they're just in a boardroom, like talking, the music and the editing makes it like it's an action scene. It's all fast. And like, where is he? He checked in. And we got a blip on the radar. Oh my God. It's a thing. And I'm like, what? The way they're talking is like action. You know what I mean? So you know what I'm saying too. Yeah. You know exactly what I mean. It's shot in a way and edited in a way. And the music is done in a way where when there is not little, like literal fighting or shooting, you still feel like you're watching an action movie, which was cool. That was cool. I was cool with it. I like it. It adds some urgency. Like besides the beginning, the rest of the time, it just feels like it's going at a million miles per hour. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Now, actual action wise, there's really three action scenes, like three set pieces, right? You have the opening chase in India, which is really well done. I really enjoyed it. Then you have the fight in the house, which this is the one scene I always remember because he fights that guy with a magazine. Mm-hmm. And it always made me laugh. I'm like, please, he slaps him with a magazine like it will hurt. It will not hurt that bad. But anyway, that fight where the guy has the zip ties. And then you have the final car chase scene, which I'm going to let you expand on because I know that's your jam. But three big, you know, major action scenes and then like little small bits. Nothing crazy. So I'm going to give it, for me, I have to give it a 4. And the reason is the editing. So Paul Greengrass directed this. And to say that it is shot in a certain scenes are incomprehensible. You cannot know what's happening because the camera is shaking so much that, especially the hand-to-hand fight with the guy in his house, it is like you hear, and you hear, and you hear hits, but all you see is shaking. And I'm not crazy about it. I do think it's a staple, like it is very Bourne. The Bourne movies have this style, but I don't love it. I cannot give a 5 to something that I could not see. The car chase is amazing. It is great. I still got to give it a 4, but that's just me. I know you're gonna gush over it in a moment here, so I'll let you take it away.
Gush over it. Oh man, like, everything you said is true. This movie doesn't have action, but I think this is for me where, you know, it's funny. I gave the first movie a 5 for action. This one, I had to bring it down a notch. I hate shaking cameras. It's something that I it's a pet peeve of mine. And I guess that's my Achilles heel when it comes to action movies. I just don't like it. I don't see what the fetish is with shaking cameras. I don't see it. It makes me more nauseous than anything. Yeah. And it's close up. It's not like it's a wide angle shaky camera. It's them like straight in front. And you know, the house fight is actually pretty cool when you get to actually see something. But once you see him laying hits and then you see the cut and paste going through to make him look faster, like one of our Patreons at Red4K brought up, it does take away the element of not realism because these are not real characters, but it takes that away. Whereas, you know, John Wick is the one, like a perfect, is always going to be the perfect example because you get to see Keanu Reeves actually fight in the scenes. You know,
like, look at some martial arts movies. They're always like wide. Yang. You could always see. Yeah.
Jet Li. You see them.
This is just literally hits in there and shaking. You can't see what's happening.
Yeah. You know what? Even Stallone. You see the fights between Stallone and everybody. So with that, does it hurt it? It does. I had to take some points off because the scenes that you get really excited for, kind of the shaky cam takes away that element and it hurt me. Now it makes it up in other areas. Now, oh man, the car chase scene in the beginning when he's trying to escape from in India from Kurt Urban. It's so freaking awesome. It's a really cool chase scene. Not over the top, but it was actually pretty cool. But the scene at the end, when it's Kurt Urban and they're driving through the city, then they go into this 4-lane tunnel. Has to be
Moscow.
In Russia. Yeah, in Russia. Yeah. To me, it's one of my top 5 action car chase scenes. It is, from beginning to end, you're on the edge of your seat. You are in it. And the crazy thing is for some reason, Paul Greengrass, when he is shooting car scenes, there is no shaky cameras.
Right.
There is no close-up, which I'm like, what the hell? But you give it to me in every other scene. But in your car scenes, it's so beautifully shot. And the execution is so well done. Like, and it makes sense, right? Like, he's trying to shoot the tire. He lays down and he's like shooting sideways. He's hitting the tire. His tire pops. He hits and clutches. And I'm like, you get to see all of that. And I was like, yo, that's kind of cool. When the camera's on the clutch, his shoes, and you feel like you're in it like in a video game. Like you're about to hit square, circle, like one of those like fast
quick time events.
Yeah, like a quick time event. And it works so well. And then when you see him shooting and then you see he's like, oh, damn, I'm fucked. And he hits the wall And then he leaves him there to live. And it's like, oh, damn, Bourne. I would have executed him, but if it was a video game, I would have killed him. But that scene is so well done. And honestly, this is 2004. I could be wrong. But I could say from 2004 to where we are now, I can't think of another car action sequence better than that one. From beginning to end, perfectly executed. The villain is cut off guard. You see the hero showing his car skills in driving. I could be wrong. I know Matrix Reloaded, but that was actually not a really car chasing because these dudes are jumping from car to car.
Also before this movie.
So it's before that. Yeah. So honestly, I can really not think of, I mean, I don't know about you, Nave, you could think of an actual good.
I don't know. I'd have to really think about it or look up movies with great car chases. And then it is great. And actually the first one is great too. Like this has two great car chase scenes. The two best action scenes in this are car chase scenes. So I'm not going to argue with you. It might be, I off the top of my head, I can't think of a specific one. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's crazy. Cause I'd be telling the guys in the Patreons and then I keep telling you, trust me, watch it. It's one of those things that you're going to be like, wow, it's really good. And rewatching it, it's like watching it for the first time when you see them start chasing each other. So anyway, with that said, I gave it a 4. I know it's weird because I'm hyping up the car scenes. Those are great car shots, but the thing is, the fighting sequences, it just hurts it. I cannot take the damn green grasses fighting style in this movie. If you would have gave me David Lynch's camera angles in this with the beautiful car chase scene, I would have been like 5 out of 5. We're good to go. But yeah, I gave it a 4 on that. Okay, storyline.
All right, storyline. So this one is pretty tight. I mean, it's a pretty good, it's a good solid storyline. You know, it's very tight. Like I said, the pacing is great. It's paced like an action movie. It's just nonstop, moving. There is zero downtime in this movie. That's one thing you can absolutely say. Every single thing that's happening on screen is like really propels the plot forward, which I like. That being said, it does feel like the first movie. You know what I mean? Like, and now that I'm thinking about it, from what I remember of Ultimatum, I think it's also in the same format. You know what I mean? Like he's out and about and there's other people in a room with computers and they're always trying to track him down. There's a certain repetitiveness to it. Now, on one hand, you could say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And on the other hand, you could say, try something different. I'm going to fall right in the middle. I think it's a smart move. This is the franchise. You know, these are kind of it's going to be the staples of it. I think it's well done. Did it blow me away? Nah. But is it very entertaining and engaging? Yep. I was into it the whole time. This one's a little shorter than the first movie, but it feel like it's paced faster and it's shorter and it made it really tight. And I really enjoyed it. I gave it a 4.
Yeah. Look, everything you said there is actually perfect. The only thing I would add is that this movie proves, and again, this is a sequel to a movie. And this, I could throw it up there with the Terminator 2. Now, Terminator 2 is one of the perfect, best action movie sequels of all time. This, I could throw it up there. This is actually a really good sequel to an action franchise. Now, is it you're right. It is very repetitive, all three movies. Actually, you could even say all five movies is all repetitive because it's all the same things. People are all in the office and they're trying to chase this one dude down. And it's pretty much all of them, right? But my thing is one, is it executed well? Because you could have three different storylines that do the same thing, but do they tell compelling stories like Lord of the Rings? All three Lord of the Rings are the same, right? They're all trying to get the stupid ring into Mordor, but each of them has a different set piece of where they go. Does it work? Yes, they did. Those things work because it's a continued storyline. This one actually worked very well. I mean, from beginning to the beginning to the middle, and then, of course, Ultimatum is the end, but I loved it. I thought it was perfectly well. I thought the villains were put in place very well for this story. I thought them killing off Marie in the beginning actually heightened up the movie because now he has a reason why to bring these guys down. Because I think if Marie survived, it could have been Bourne Identity Part 2 because then it's going to be both of them on the run. And they needed to do something. And by killing her off, I think to me, made the movie 10 times better, in my opinion. You got a pissed off Bourne. And I thought that worked very well. Now, I don't know what happens in Ultimatum. We're not tackling those films yet until next week. But for me, this is a perfect sequel. I'm not going to give this movie a 5 because there are certain flaws in here in the movie, because I agree with you. This is a kind of repetitive storyline, but I thought it was executed very well for a sequel. So I gave it a 4.5. I don't think it's a crazy 5, but I gave it a 4.5 on that. Overall,
you know, this was besides the lead, which I gave a 4.5. It's kind of a straight 4 across the board for me. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you got a movie that's all just like, it's an 8 out of 10 in my head, you know what I mean? Like, that is a really good, entertaining movie. I gave the first one a 4. So this is as good, if not slightly better than the first one, in my opinion. Paul Greengrass was, I think, you know, Doug Liman directed the first movie. And Doug Liman's one of those directors who, I think he's pretty good, but he's not very distinct. You know what I mean? Like, you don't watch a Doug Liman movie and be like, wow, this is a Doug Liman movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bourne, and he did like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which seems nothing like this one. Or like Edge of Tomorrow, which seems nothing like. So he's versatile, but he's not distinct. Paul Greengrass is a very distinct director. You watch one of his movies and you know you're watching one of his movies. Yeah. They almost look like a documentary. It almost looks like there's just a guy following people around with a camera. You know what I mean? And very shaky, sure, not always the best, especially in action, but it's distinct. You know what I mean? So I think he's a better fit for this franchise than Doug Liman was in the first movie, personally. I think he adds some flair. If there's one thing the first movie doesn't have, it's flair to me. You know what I mean? It's standard, good, solid spy movie.
Yeah.
This one is that with some flair. Now, if the flair works for you or not, that's a different story. But I enjoy it. I gave it a 4 overall. I think it's a really good sequel. I did like it slightly better than the first movie, but that's just because it had a different energy to me. Like, it was just more fast paced, more, you know, a little more exciting to watch, in my opinion. So yeah, but it's still a 4 for me.
Yeah. When it comes down to the overall, I'm not going to hold this up as much. I gave it a 4.5. I think this is a really solid sequel to an action spy thriller movie. I think this is really up there. I think this is better than Quantum of Solace 007, hands down, to be really honest with you. Is this better than Mission Impossible 2? Absolutely. By a long shot. I mean, we didn't tackle Mission Impossible 2 here, but we all know in our minds, we remember that John Woo crap fest.
We will be.
Yeah, we will. But yeah, we're going to break that one down. But I think this is a very solid movie. Now, I agree with you in terms of director. I would like to see that person help me. But you know who could have also worked for me in this franchise? Anthony Fuqua. Think it would have worked?
Oh, Antoine Fuqua?
Yeah. Antoine Fuqua. I think it would have worked very well in this type of franchise. I would not say Michael Mann, because Michael Mann has the same style as Greengrass, but more of a documentary style.
Yeah. Although he would slow it down. If he was the director, he'd also want to be like a co-writer, and it would be a lot slower paced.
I think Christopher Nolan would have did a great job with this movie.
It would have been way more polished. But you're right. No, I mean, he'll knock it out of the park. He's just that good. But.
Because I'm thinking of all the scenery. I think this would, or Tony Scott, the rest
Tony
in peace.
Scott would have, that, okay. Tony Scott would have been the guy to do that, especially in the early to mid 2000s. Yeah. That's my favorite one that you've said so far. I think Tony Scott would have nailed it.
I think so too. To be honest with you, I'm looking at all the directors I just said. I think Tony Scott would have been perfect. Man on Fire style. Jason Bourne. Oh,
Domino, Deja Vu. He has a style. And if he added his style onto Bourne, it could have been really awesome.
You're right. Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, look, with that said, 4.5 overall, I think this is a great sequel. Total points, Nate.
Total for me is a 20.5 out of 25.
All right. For me, it's a 23 out of a 25. I think this is a pretty good sequel. Like I said before, it has everything you want. You have the action, you have the storyline, you have the good villains, you have a great hero. You got some plot twist here and there. I mean, of course, it's a government conspiracy type of movie. You get your plot twist here and there. And of course, this movie is available on 4K. Like me and Nate said, it's available, and I think it's a 5-pack. You can get yourself all the Bourne, so you can check that out. And if you guys are listening to the podcast, on Monday, this Monday, on the live show, we are going to be giving away the entire Jason Bourne 4K digital. So again, if you guys are listening to it and you want to own it, you have a shot to win it this Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Other than that, Nate, what is coming up?
All right, so that's Bourne Supremacy. Now, next episode, we are going to be moving into the 80s. We finished with the 1970s decade of action movies as voted by you. Now we're going to the 80s. Guess what? As voted on by you. You guys, none of these were selected by me. These were all people on Instagram put a bunch of polls, voted, and hopefully you guys are the listeners also that are voting. So we're going to be going to a John Carpenter movie, 1981, called Escape from New York. A little movie called Escape from New York. Not sure if you ever heard of it, but we're going to be tackling that. And then, of course, next week, moving on to the Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah, other than that, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix More Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, you can head over to youtube.com/UltraHDGeeks for the video version of the podcast. If you guys want to take us on the go, search for Action Movie Guys on any podcast platform such as Apple Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Spotify. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.